Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
I would love to be the model city for public safety and police community relationships, and I think that we are well on our way.
That was Chief Cheryl Victorian, the leader of the Waco Police Department. Keep listening and find out what Chief Victorian envisions for Waco to be a model city. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors, Quality Cabinets. Your home is an extension of your personality, smooth, clean, and elegant. Quality Cabinets is the perfect choice for the modern aesthetic. Visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Quality Cabinets, modern design, everyday comfort. Reach them at 254-744-0938 and online at qualitycabinetstx.com. Christian Family Law Solutions is a Christian-based, solution-focused mediation provider. They help their clients avoid costly litigation and remain focused on the most important priorities in their lives, creating paths for peaceful resolution, not brokenness. Call 254-777-5171 or on the web, 1c6.law. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend J.B. James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army, and his team at Hot TV amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Dr. Cheryl Victorian became Chief Victorian in 2021 and brings a wealth of experience and her forward-thinking approach to the Waco Police Department. Under her leadership, the department continues to evolve, adapting to the changing landscape of policing while honoring the rich history which has shaped this Central Texas community. Policing in Waco traces its roots back to 1871, when the city elected its first town marshal, a pivotal moment in establishing law and order. Before that, Waco was known as Six Shooter Junction, a reflection of its wild frontier days and frequent gun battles. Today, the department's mission is far removed from those rough beginnings, focusing on safety, trust, and community engagement. Chief Victorian is at the forefront of reimagining policing, emphasizing the importance of values, culture, and leadership. She believes that policing is not just about enforcement, but about building relationships and trust within the community. In her words and actions, she demonstrates how culture and expression of values guides the department. In our conversation, Chief Victorian shares her insights into the evolving attitudes toward law enforcement, the importance of language and communication in building connections, and her vision for the future of policing in Waco. Join us as we delve into her leadership style, her core beliefs, and the values Chief Victorian instills in the officers who serve the community every day. So today I am in the office of Chief Cheryl Victorian, and it is also Dr. Victorian, and we'll talk about that as we progress as well. But this is the Waco Experience, an American story. And I'll just say, up here on the eighth floor, Chief, you have a gorgeous view, but welcome to the Waco Experience.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm glad to be here. So we're going to talk about your role as the Chief of Police in Waco. And so let's just kind of start with describing the force, the activities, the engagement. What's going on with the police force here in Waco?
Again, thank you for having me. The Waco Police Department is made up of about 265 sworn personnel. We have an authorized strength of 295, but we're about 30 officers down. We can talk about that a little later. And we have about 80 or so support personnel are professional staff that are non-sworn, but we also have 109 positions there. We cover about 100 square miles for the city of Waco. We have three different districts with 15 beats in those districts, a population of about 143,000. Right now, crime is declining, and it has been declining for the past year and a half or so, and we're so fortunate for that. And I think that it's the holistic approach that we have taken to addressing crime in the city of Waco is the reason why we're seeing those numbers. We believe in relational policing, where we believe that transparency, respect, engagement, building emotional capital, and accountability are instrumental in building trust in our communities. And we use that at each and every level of our organization, whether it's support, investigations, or patrol, to build that trust and engagement with the community.
We're recent residents here, and looking at crime rates is one of those things that people who are considering a community want to take a look at. And declining numbers, that's really good. Let's go back. How long have you been chief here?
So I have been chief here since March 2021. I was sworn in March the 15th, 2021.
So right there, we were still reeling from COVID and that whole thing, the whole lockdowns that were going on there. So let's talk about what you brought in to the police force as chief.
Okay. So when I first got here, I was an outsider. I'd spent the first 27 and a half years of my career with the Houston Police Department and came into the Waco Police Department. I had to get to know my team. I had to get to know processes and procedures and how we did things. But one of the things that I said that I would bring to this department would be increased engagement with our community and community collaboration. And in the past 3.5 years, our team has just embraced this idea of relational policing and engaging, and have taken a holistic approach again to addressing crime using prevention, intervention, as well as apprehension to address some of the crime in our community, and to help build relationships and educate our community on how they can help us keep these numbers going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So policing has changed over the years. And a lot of people have a television version of what a day in the life of an officer is like. That's probably not reality at all, as we would expect. So tell us about, you talked about the different areas and beats within it. Let's talk about kind of how those all relate.
Okay, so at the Waco Police Department, we have three different commands is what we like to call them. We have our support command, we have investigations, and we have patrol. We have three assistant chiefs that are responsible for each one of those commands. Our support command includes our dispatch division, along with our records division, our property room, and it also includes our community outreach division. And that's where we have our neighborhood engagement team, our community services unit, and all things engagement. Also, it's our recruiting command, has our recruiting and training and support command. And then investigations, we have the follow-up to the patrol calls. So our investigators take the initial calls that patrol officers respond to, and they conduct the follow-up investigation to see if they can gather enough evidence to identify suspects and make arrests. And then, of course, our patrol officers is 24/7 operation. Those ladies and gentlemen are out there responding to the calls for services and immediate needs of our community, taking the reports and conducting any follow-up that they can while they're on the scene, making arrests if necessary. if the suspect perpetrator is still on the scene, and just providing enough support to give the information to investigations so that they can follow up, or just increasing the presence in the communities to making sure, you know, for people to see them and feel safe because the police are present. But yeah, that's essentially what we do here.
Nice. And the front line of any organization, how the people respond, is all about what happens at the top and works its way down. So you mentioned you've got three assistant chiefs and all the way down to the frontline folks. Let's talk about a little bit about your leadership vision and style. What do you believe as chief?
So as chief of police, I believe in leading authentically and leading courageously. And when I say courageously in the police profession, people always go to, oh, you have to be tough and you have to make sure. And when I say leading courageously, I mean being able to make those tough decisions, because the police profession, like you said earlier, has changed. And there are some decisions that we make at this level that may not necessarily be popular, but you understand and know that it's the direction that your department needs to go in. I'm also big on culture and making sure we create a culture where people feel like they are welcome, where they feel like they are appreciated. That is something that's really big with me, and making sure that they're respected and that they can have their dignity. I wholeheartedly believe that if we treat our team well internally, then that's just an example of how we expect our team to go out and treat our community externally.
I like the idea of culture. Culture is very hard to define, and it's hard to change. It can be changed, but it takes persistence and diligence, consistency. But culture really is, in a way, an expression of values, our values. So let's go back and talk about the values of the Waco Police Department and its role within the city.
So as part of our mission statement, a couple of our values are accountability, integrity, respect, and professionalism. And those are just primarily the key characteristics or values that I expect each and every one of our officers to display each and every day in every contact that we make with the community, whether we're talking to a complainant, a witness, or whether we're arresting a suspect. We should maintain that, have their dignity and respect maintained. So yeah, those are just a few of the values of our police department and the expectations at this level.
Right. Yeah. And on an earlier episode of the Waco Experience, we were able to talk with two of your folks, with Detective Hawkins and Officer Draper, who are involved in the neighborhood engagement team. They really attributed a lot of what is going on there in the NET, as they called it, Neighborhood Engagement Team, and to your involvement in coming in as chief. So let's talk about the Neighborhood Engagement Team, because that really is one of the major changes in policing across the country, but specifically here in Waco. So let's talk about that.
So I was fortunate enough when I got here that they had already designated five positions to put in a role to increase engagement. We hadn't really defined what that would be. So I came in right in time to be able to define what the roles of that neighborhood engagement team would be. So there are five officers and one supervisor, a sergeant. And we made a list of responsibilities and expectations for each and every member that was going to be assigned to that unit, but primarily it was to be out in the community and to be assigned a part of the city where you are accessible and people know who you are, and that you're involved in community meetings, that you're involved in neighborhood association meetings, that you're involved in events that the communities are hosting, so people could get to know their police department. I often say that it's hard to hate me up close, So if I'm out and about and you get to know me and I can humanize who I am, then you kind of forget the fact that I'm a police officer. You forget the fact that I'm a police chief and look at me as a human being, right? And I think that engagement also allows us an opportunity for people to be able to see that we care about them as a person, and that our sole responsibility is not just law enforcement, but making our community safe and, you know, protecting the vulnerable from harm.
That was an interesting comment, too, about law enforcement and not really identifying the frontline folks as law enforcement officers. What's your preferred term?
Policing. Our peace officers. For far too long, we have referred to ourselves as law enforcement officers when it's only a portion of the work that we do. And I think that when we define ourselves as that, as law enforcement officers, that's what people see us as, that we're only out there to enforce the law. Well, we have so many other responsibilities, right? And then I'm a part of an organization called The Curve with Simon Sinek. I'm not sure if you're sure you probably
know Simon Sinek. Yeah. Okay. Big favorite. Yeah.
He has kind of adopted some police leaders across this country to help us impact the cultures of our organization. And one of the first things that we did and we talked about was that words matter, and that we need to step back from calling ourselves law enforcement officers, because that's not the only thing that we do. And then we equipped a young police officer and tell him he's a law enforcement officer. What is he going to do? He's going out there to just enforce the law, right? So we need to broaden that perspective of being a police officer, a peace officer, and just realize that it's a portion of what we do.
So I'm going to just mention something about Simon Sinek, and I'll put a link to his TEDx talk. I encourage people, a great 18 minutes worth investing, and it's How Great Leaders Inspire. Definitely worth it. And then, of course, his book, Start With Why. I'll put a link in the show notes there. He had a group called the Leftsiders many years ago, probably in 2010, 11, somewhere around there. And he had these open calls. And so I thought, well, I'll join in. And so I dialed in, and I thought it was going to be some sort of a listen only. No, he answers the phone. This was Simon Sinek, and he had actually given out the wrong number. So only he and I had it. So I had an opportunity to just talk to him one-on-one for a few minutes, which was just a thrill, right? I mean,
yes,
it was fun.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
I had an opportunity to spend 3 days with Simon Sinek.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, in Aspen, Colorado.
Okay, beautiful spot.
Developing the fundamental principles of what the curve would look like. So I am, yeah, it was an amazing experience. He's an amazing guy, and we have learned so much from him. Somebody from outside of the policing industry who is a leader who can have an impact on change in policing. So he's amazing.
Another one of his books, and we won't go too far around this, was all about leaders eat last, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And his experience with the Marine Corps. We are talking here on the Waco Experience, an American story, with Chief Victorian in her office. It's a beautiful day, the fall here in Waco, Central Texas. It's a gorgeous time. And so I appreciate that you're here. And you came to Waco, as you said, in 2021, and you had an entire career in Houston.
I did.
So let's go back and talk about your journey to come into policing, specifically in Houston. What happened? When did you wake up and find out that you wanted to be in policing?
So I'm going to make this as brief as I can. I know we only have a few minutes, but I was afraid of police officers as a kid, right? And it wasn't because my family had any negative interactions with the police. I just believe that somebody may have told me that that officer is going to put you in jail, right? And then it didn't help that one day I had a neighbor who told me that the police helicopter landed on our street and they were looking for me. And so every time we would hear it, the flight path for Houston Police Department's helicopter would fly over my mom's house, so we could hear it coming. So every time we heard those blades, we were hiding, right? And then I lost my dad, and when I was 9, he had a massive heart attack and passed away. And the police officers that escorted us out of town to for his funeral, they were very compassionate, very empathetic, and I watched them as the respect that they received back in 1979 when people used to pull over on the side of the freeway when they saw a funeral coming, right? And that was so impactful to me. I was like, wow, this is what these people are doing for this guy when they were really doing it for the funeral out of respect, right? But my perception began to change. I turned 15, Miami Vice came out.
Okay.
And I wanted to be Ricardo and Tubbs.
There you go.
Right? And so I knew from the time I was 15 I wanted to be a police officer. Finished high school, went to college, and went right into the Houston Police Academy, and served on the street for a while, worked the gang task force, got a phone call out of nowhere to go and work undercover in Major Offenders Division, and did that for 11 and a half years. Had the time of my life.
So you are living the TV show.
You lived it. We did different types of investigations.
Yeah, but undercover.
Undercover. Right? Yeah. And enjoyed it. And then I started getting a little older and my perpetrators were getting a little younger. The lingo changed. I wasn't having as much fun and decided to transfer to homicide. I went to homicide, promoted out of homicide to sergeant, went back to the streets, worked child sexual abuse, worked internal affairs division, promoted out of internal affairs to lieutenant. And went back to child sexual abuse. Then I went to the training academy for a year. And then I promoted to a commander in 2016 and was responsible for South Central Patrol, which is about it's in South and East Houston, Third Ward. I had all the major colleges and universities. I had the medical center, and in addition to a couple of neighborhoods. And in 2017, I was tapped to be appointed to assistant chief. And so I promoted to assistant chief in 2017 and was there for three and a half years. I was responsible for Patrol Region 2, which is about a third of the city of Houston, five patrol stations and vehicular crimes division. And thought I was living the life. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. When I first became a police officer, I was a law enforcement officer myself. Everybody had to go to jail, right? And so I tease people. I'll say, I put my mom in jail, but I'd get her out, but I would have put her in jail. But everybody had to go to jail. But then I realized that as I matured, that I couldn't arrest my way out of everything. And then as I started promoting, I began to see the bigger picture. And prevention and intervention and community engagement became a part of who I was as a leader in policing, and it just kind of followed me.
So was the Houston Police Department also implementing the community policing, the neighborhood engagement type processes?
So we've always talked about community policing in the police profession, and that's where I learned it. I learned it at the Houston Police Department, right? But community policing is actually working cooperatively with the community and community members to solve specific problems, right? Well, relational policing is an idea that I got from my former chief who appointed me to assistant chief, Chief Art Acevedo, and he came to us with this idea of relational policing in 2016. He talked about transparency, respect, engagement, emotional capital, and accountability to build trust. And he talked about it so often that I was like, man, these are so simple principles for us to be able to implement to build trust. We can do it internally and externally. And I asked him if I could brand it, because it had never been written down or formally branded. And he was like, yeah, sure. And just before I left, that was something that I did and I took pride in doing. And he came down actually for my public swearing in and pinned me. And I told him I was still in relational policing. He was like, no, that's for everybody. And I have just since run off with it. I've created an 8-hour course on relational policing and relational leadership, because those same principles that we use to build trust outside of our organizations, we can use them inside of our organizations as well. And I think that's important. So, yeah.
So education. You mentioned you went to college.
Yes.
What was your undergraduate?
So my undergraduate was in administration of justice at Texas Southern University.
And then you continued on in your education.
I did.
And you have a PhD right now, but what was that?
I did. So while I was working undercover in major offenders, I started a master's program at the University of Houston downtown in criminal justice and graduated from that in December of 2003 or May, I don't remember, May 2000, three. Decided in 2008 or so that I would start working on my PhD, and started and completed that in May 2013. Yeah, and that's in administration of justice as well.
And every time someone does a PhD, you have to research something that's never been done before.
Yes.
And so what was your PhD work on?
So my dissertation was on, I did an exploratory study of taser use in Texas. Yes. And so tasers were fairly brand new at that time. And so, yeah, I picked 9 cities in the state of Texas, got as much data as I could, and just analyzed the data and did a content analysis on policies. And yeah. It was
And what was your conclusion? What did you conclude?
So there was not enough data to it, because one of my hypotheses was whether or not the use of tasers decreased the number of shootings that we got into, and officer and perpetrator injuries, right? Well, it had not been enough data collected at that time to make a conclusion of whether or not that had happened. So it was kind of inconclusive at the time. I think if somebody did something like that now, they would have enough.
Well, they can copy your homework.
Yeah. Yes. Use that.
You've got the basis is already out there. Yes, in the last few minutes here, and Chief Victorian, thank you again for taking time out of your schedule. So let's talk about how people get involved. What's coming up, and what's your vision for policing in Waco?
So I would love to be the model city for public safety and police community relationships. And I think that we are well on our way. We have members of our team that are on national boards. I serve on national boards. The idea of relational policing is getting out there, and the work that's being done here in our community is being out here. I see more collaborations in the work that we've already started. Like, we have our social resource coordinator that's assigned to the Waco Police Department that helps us with some of those calls that we used to always say were not ours, where as it relates to unhoused individuals and individuals with mental health needs, to be able to direct them to the resources that they need when they have a different need and it's not criminal. We also have our mental health professionals that are in our dispatch center that respond to those calls when those individuals are in crisis and it's not police related. So I would love to see all of that kind of just get bigger. Because, right now we only have one social resource coordinator, and we're covering 5 days in one shift or an 8-hour shift with our mental health team. I'd love to see, of course, us get up to our authorized strength and be able to.
I'm with you. And I love this idea of the model city. And in the last minute here, let's get your best recruiting pitch.
Let's see. If you want to be a part of an amazing team that is going in an incredible direction to be able to impact the culture of policing and police community relationships and engagement, then come and join our team. We are a family. We love one another. And we just look to protect the vulnerable from harm, and to be able to work cooperatively with our community to do that.
Let's get those recruits in the door.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Thank you so much for having me.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.